Good morning, everybody. It's good to be in church, and it's particularly good to be in church with you. I love our worship team at Gona Corner Church. Do you? This CD they made of the night of worship, I got to tell you, God is using that thing in my life in an incredible way, and I appreciate what they did here this morning, just that change of pace. I love that style of music. And I appreciate them doing that. I want to tell you a Bible story today. And it is found in the Old Testament book of Judges. It's kind of a lengthy story. And so I'm going to break it down into four chapters, okay? And I'm doing that so that you won't get lost in the story. All you got to do is stay focused through one chapter at a time. I'm going to tell you the story of a man named Samson. Anybody ever heard of Samson? Okay. There were six in the first service and five in the second service. So I don't know if that's good or bad. Samson, I'm going to tell the story in four chapters. Chapter number one, Samson's wedding. Chapter number two, Samson's divorce. Chapter number three, Samson's one-night stand. Chapter 4, Samson's fall. Samson was a man of destiny, divine destiny. God put him on this earth to fulfill a mission. He was to start leading his countrymen, the Israelites, out from under bondage to their bitter enemies, the Philistines. So you're ready to go with chapter 1, Samson's wedding. As a young man, Samson went down one day to visit a Philistine city called Timnah. And there he saw a Philistine girl. And the Bible said she caught his eye. That's exactly the way it phrases it. She caught his eye. She must have been beautiful. And he made a decision on the spot. I'm going to marry her. That girl's going to be my wife. Now, had they dated? No. I mean, they hadn't even had coffee together. Had they talked? No. As far as I know, he didn't even know her name. He's just like, that's her. Completely physical attraction based on nothing but that. He decides, she's going to be my wife. So he goes home and he tells his mom and daddy, I know who I'm going to marry. And they say, who is it, son? He must have said, I don't know. I don't know who she is. But I know I don't want to marry her. Where does she live? Well, she lives down in Timnah. Oh, red flag, they knew that's a Philistine city. And they began to object. And they said, son, please don't do that. I mean, isn't there a good Israelite girl that you could settle down with that would make you a good wife? And you may be asking, were they prejudiced? Were they racist? No, not at all. God, in his word, had forbidden Jews to intermarry with Gentiles. So what they're saying to him is, that would be wrong for you to do that. Son, that would be a sin. Would you please reconsider? And he said, absolutely not. She looks good to me. That's what he said. She looks good to me, and I want her to be my wife. And so he looked at mom and daddy and said, make it happen. So I guess they saw his determination. They went to Timnah with him. Now, I don't know if Samson was just walking at a faster clip. Maybe he took a different route. But we find him in the story by himself on the way to Timnah when out of nowhere he was attacked by a lion. Now, when the lion lunged at him, Samson experienced something for the first time in his life. The Bible said the Spirit of God came over him and gave him supernatural strength. And so, as the lion lunged, Samson caught it by the jaws and just went, rip, tore it in half. Tore the thing in half. And the Bible said that Samson didn't tell anybody about that. Are you kidding me? Huh? That's all I would have been doing. I would have had the phone out taking pictures. Huh, look at that. Let me tell you how that happened. I did that. I'd stop strangers and I did that. Don't mess with me. Don't you mess with me. They end up in Timnah. Samson gets to talk to the girl. And it just confirmed what he thought. He wanted to marry her. Apparently, the parents made the preliminary arrangements. They go back home to finalize everything. And in time, they head back down to Timnah for the wedding. Once again, Samson is alone. I don't know why. And maybe, like I say, he was just faster than his parents, and he took a little detour to go find the carcass of the lion, wouldn't you? I would have. I'd want to relive that moment. Like, yeah, you thought you were bad until you ran into me, man. And he discovered that bees had made a hive in the carcass of the lion, so he scooped some of the honey out, and he tasted it, and then he collected some of the honey. I don't know, did Samson carry Tupperware in his backpack? I don't know how he did that, but he collected some of the honey, gave it to his parents, but he didn't tell them where it came from. So they go down, they're getting ready for the wedding, and Samson's future in-laws, they go down into the Philistine city, I guess Timnah, and they recruited 30 young Philistine men to be part of Samson's wedding party. In other words, we need some groomsmen. We need, hey, what about you? Would you be his best man? So they recruited 30 complete strangers to be a part of his wedding party. And so Samson and his Philistine woman, they're married. And then Samson decides, I'm going to throw a week-long party. We're going to party for a week. And so he obviously liked to gamble. So he said, guys, I'll tell you what we're going to do. I got a riddle. I'm going to share the riddle with you. I'm going to give you 7 days to solve the riddle. And if you can solve it, here's what you're going to. I'm going to do. I'm going to give each of you a set of clothing and a pair of underwear. And he said, now, if you can't solve it, each of you are going to give me a set of clothing and a pair of underwear. Really? I mean, you got this big wager going on, and I mean, could you not bet over a set of golf clubs and over an under shotgun, a four-wheeler? I mean, could you not come up with something better than that? As a matter of fact, the Bible said not just any kind of clothing, it had to be festive clothing. And not any kind of underwear, it had to be fine linen underwear. So he said, guys, here's the riddle. Out of the one who eats came something to eat, and out of the strong came something weak. There you go, you got 7 days. 3 days in, they're coming up with nothing. They're drawing a blank. They begin to talk among themselves. You know what's about to happen here, don't you? I mean, we got invited into this. We got, you know, suckered into coming to this wedding. And it's about to cost us money. We're going to have to go buy a set of festive clothing and a pair of fine linen underwear to give to this dude. And they're like, I'm not doing it. I'm not doing it. So they call on the fourth day, they called a meeting with Samson's wife. And they said, here's what's about to happen. We're not buying clothing for this jackleg. We're not doing that. And so here's what you're going to do. You're going to find out the meaning of the riddle. And you're going to tell us. And if you don't, here's what we're going to do. We're going to burn your daddy's house down with you in it. You ever see anybody that just couldn't stand to lose? I mean, they just got to win, huh? Well, these guys had to win. If you don't find out, you know, solve this riddle, we're going to burn your daddy's house down and you in it. So she was highly motivated. So you know what she did? She tried a little guilt. Tried guilt. You know, I can't believe that we're married and you're already keeping secrets from me. And Samson just, he was kind of blunt. He just was not good with words. And He said, I ain't even told my mom and daddy. Why would I tell you? Well, that's your wife. I don't know what he's saying, but that's what he said. So the guilt didn't work, so she tried some, manipulation. I think she batted her eyes and said, you know, why don't you tell me? You can tell me. It didn't work, and so she resorted, hey, when the flattery doesn't work and the guilt doesn't work, there's always another trick left in the bag. And so the Bible said she tried nagging him. And the Bible said she nagged him to death to the point that on the seventh day he said, here it is, woman. And he told her the solution to the riddle. So she went straight to those 30 guys. And she told them. So on the seventh day they get together. And I tell you, the clock is ticking. You know, man, I got the countdown going 15, 14, 13. And all of a sudden one of the guys went, I got it. I know the solution of the riddle. And here it is. He said, what is sweeter than honey and what is stronger than a lion? Samson lost. But he knew. He knew. He knew what had happened. He knew how they found the solution to his riddle. And so he said something that blows my mind. He looked at all 30 of those guys and he said, if you had not plowed with my heifer, you would have never solved my riddle. You go, what? Was it? Did he raise cattle? Oh, no, no, no. He wasn't talking about a cow there. I'm telling you, the guy just didn't, he just was not good with words. He was talking about his wife. Well, he got mad. So he went to the Philistine city of Ashkelon. And the Bible said he had one of those moments where the Spirit of God came on him and had this supernatural strength. And he saw this Philistine dude walking down the sidewalk there, and he was wearing festive clothing. So he killed him. And he stripped him of his clothing, and guess what? He had on fine linen underwear. So he took the underwear off of him and left him a naked corpse. Well, then he went and he saw another dude walking down the street with festive clothes. Listen, if you were a Philistine dude, this was not the best day to put on your festive clothing and go strolling through the streets of Ashkelon. He proceeded to kill 30 Philistine men, all wearing festive clothing, took their festive clothing, all of them had on fine linen drawers, and he took them to... And he goes up and I can just see him throw all that stuff down in front of those 30 guys and say, there you go. And by the way, if I were you, I'd wash them drawers. The last person had them on was a dead man. Well, he left mad. Left. Packed his bag, left his wife, went back home to live with mom and daddy. That was Samson's wedding. You still with me? Let's talk about his divorce. Sometime later, old Samson started thinking about his wife. And he decided he was going to go down to Timnah and visit. You say, Ronnie, I mean, he had time to kind of think, regroup, get over some stuff. You think he was feeling lonely? No. I think he was feeling lustful. So he's thinking to himself, I'm going to go down to Timnah, and I'm going to say this as tactful as I know how. I'm going to sleep with my wife. Now, he knows he didn't leave the situation on the best of terms, that he's got some guys. You know, I got to be careful what I say here. He knew I got to smooth some things over. If this is going to work the way I want it to work, perhaps a gift would be in order. And so did he go to the jewelry store? No. Did he go to the florist? No. Did he go to Victoria's Secret? No. Not only was he not good with words, he just wasn't a real smart dude. He went out to his flocks and he picked out a young goat. You know what he thought to himself? She gonna love this. Now, here's what he didn't understand. When he stormed out, moved back home with his parents, his father-in-law assumed this marriage is over. So he obviously went through all the legal processes to terminate the marriage, and his daughter remarried. Quickly, and you know who she married? She married the guy who was appointed as Samson's best friend. Oh, Samson was divorced and didn't know it. So he goes back, he and his goat. Father-in-law comes to the door. Man, he is shocked when he saw Samson. He's like, what are you doing here? He said, what am I doing here? Now listen, remember, blunt, not good with words. He said, I came to sleep with your daughter. I mean, can you not be more tactful, more subtle than that? I came to sleep with your daughter. He immediately began, oh, man, we got a problem here. He said, I know, that's why I brought the goat. Finally goes, look, dude, it's a bigger problem. There ain't no goat going to solve the problem we got. She divorced you. She's already remarried. She married the dude that was your best man. Well, he had to see Samson kind of getting red veins bulging, maybe his chin locked. He can say, oh, this made him. He said, but wait, I've got a solution. I got, listen to me, son. You know, why don't you marry her younger sister? Because just between the two of us, she's the better looking one anyway. That didn't make him, it didn't work. Samson whirled around and took his goat. And what he did next, I find absolutely amazing. He went out, and just like that, he trapped 300 foxes. 300 foxes, Danny. Now, either they were overrun with foxes, or this dude was an extraordinary trapper. Now, we got Brian Alexander here and Tim McCall. They like to think of themselves as trappers. Let me tell you what, Samson was a trapper. Just like that, 300 foxes. Now, that's amazing, but what he did next was, I think, more amazing. He tied the foxes' tails together. Have you ever tried that? I just can't imagine that was easy, but he did it. And so he made essentially 150 two-headed foxes. So he ties their tails together, and then he takes them out. It was the harvest, and so he takes them out to the wheat fields. I got standing wheat, some of the wheat standing there in sheaves. Man, I tell you, he did a bad thing. Bad, bad thing. He set the foxes' tails on fire. Huh? You want to talk about a mess? Three 300 foxes with their tails tied together and their tails on fire. Man, you got a mess on your hands. I don't know how he did it. I'm assuming he tied their tails together with some oil-soaked rags and lit the rags. But he took them to the wheat fields and he turned them loose. And as you can imagine, I tell you, before it was over with, all the wheat was burned to the ground, everything. And so he saved a few foxes. He takes them over to the olive groves, did the same thing, burned all the olive trees down. Then he took them to the vineyards, burned all the grape vines down. And so in one day, he and 300 foxes destroyed all the crops of the Philistines. Well, as you can imagine, they weren't happy about this. So they inquired, what happened? Somebody said, it was Samson. It was your boy Samson. And so to get revenge on him, they went to his ex-father-in-law's house and burned his house to the ground with him in it and Samson's ex-wife in it. Now, you're talking about making a man mad. Samson got mad. So the Bible said he went on a killing rampage, and he killed many. They don't tell us exactly, but he killed many Philistines, and then he went up and began to live in a cave. I believe he had some emotional issues. I believe he was a weird dude. I got to tell you. So he goes up, and he's living in a cave. Well, the Philistines put together this army, and they're going after him. And they go to the Israelite city of Lehi, and they camp out. There's got to be thousands of them. So, you know, these Israelites are concerned. They're like, uh-oh. You know, we're in big trouble. So they send a delegation out to meet with the Philistine soldiers and go, what's the issue here? What's the problem? They said, we've come to get Samson. And they realized he's dragged us into this. We're all going to pay for his exploits. And so they said, well, just let us do this. Let us go get him. They said, all right. So 3,000, get this now. You're talking about respecting somebody? 3,000 Israelite men went to get one man. They found him in his cave, and they told him the situation. You've got us all in hot water. You know, the only solution here is for you to come back and just let us turn you over to them. And he said, okay. So they tied him up with new ropes. They laid him down, and when the Philistines saw him, Ken, they just did something dumb. They didn't think this through. They start celebrating victory. They're shouting triumphantly, like they have done something. Oh, listen to me, man. That didn't sit well with Samson. And he had another one of those moments where the Spirit of God came on him and just infused him with his supernatural strength. Well, he just pops the ropes. Boom, pow, they fall to the ground. I would have loved to have been there to see the change in momentum that took place the moment the Philistines, you know, one minute they're going, oh, man. Samson, he's wanting to fight. Now, you've got to remember now, these guys, the Philistines are soldiers. They're dressed for war, armed for war, trained for war. I mean, that's what they do. They fight. And all of a sudden, here's Samson. He's looking around for a weapon. And you know what he found? He found the jawbone of a donkey. And he took that jawbone, and I believe what happened next would probably look like some scenes from one of those old, cheaply done Bruce Lee movies. Anybody ever seen the old Bruce Lee movies? And I tell you, he went commando, and he went crazy on him. And next, by the time it's over with, 1,000 Philistine soldiers are laying there dead, and Samson's killed him with the jawbone of a donkey. That was Samson's divorce, not an amicable divorce, by the way, huh? Let's move to chapter number 3, Samson's one-night stand. Bible says, sometime later, old Samson went to the Philistine city of Gaza. And there he spent the night with a Philistine prostitute. I got to tell you, man, he had a taste for women. He had a taste for Philistine women, I think because they were forbidden. But he had a taste for sin. You ever thought about this? We make a hero out of this dude. So he's spending the night with this Philistine prostitute. So the men of Gaza, the Philistine men, they go, we got him right where we want him. Lock the gate. He's not getting out. Come morning, we're going to kill him. So midnight, Samson decides, I'm moving on. Gets out of the bed, dresses, walks out to the city gate, and guess what? He can't get out. It's locked. So if you're Samson, what do you do? I'll tell you what Samson did. He grabbed the gates, and he begins to pull them. Remember now, the Philistines have got an ambush set for him. They're going to kill him, right? We're taking this dude out. Well, they're watching as he rips these gates loose from the wall. They're attached to posts that are buried in the ground. They got a bar across the back. He rips them loose from the wall, rips the post out of the ground, gates, post, bar, tosses them up on his shoulders. I've always wondered if one Philistine soldier didn't say to the other, Pete, this is your chance, get him. You get him. You know what he did with that? He carried it 38 miles, not 38 feet, 38 miles uphill to the top of a mountain called Hebron, and he planted there, I believe, as his trophy. That was Samson's one-night stand, Samson's fall, chapter 4. You ready? The Bible said sometime later, Samson fell in love with a Philistine woman. Does that surprise us? She lived in the city of Sorek. You've probably heard of her. Her name was Delilah. Well, one day, old Delilah looks out her window, and her yard is filled with official-looking black SUVs with a tag on the front that said Philistine government. Well, I'm telling you what, everybody that was anybody in the Philistine government came to Delilah's house. They came in and sat down and said, we need your help. We need you to find out the secret of his great strength. Did you hear what the way that word, the secret of his great strength? You ever seen these animated versions of Samson? And he's this ripped, chiseled, bodybuilder-looking guy. Let me tell you what, I don't think that's the way he looked. I think he probably looked kind of like me. When he would do these exploits of strength, people would go, where's that coming from? How does he do that? He said, find out the secret of it. Find out how he could be bound and how he could be overpowered. If you do, each one of us will give you 1,100 pieces of silver. Whoa, cha-ching. It's a big payday. And where do you think this was coming from, these guys? I believe some one of them had probably said to another, you know, I remember at his wedding, he kept a secret. And a group of men found the secret by manipulating his weakness, Philistine women. Maybe we can do the same thing here. So, honey, you find out. Well, guess what she did? She used a little guilt. She used a little flattery. And she's like, you know, please tell me the secret of your great strength. So he said, okay, here it is. If I were tied up with 7 fresh bowstrings, I'd become as weak as any other man. So you know what she did? She ordered. She went on Amazon right then. She ordered 7 fresh bowstrings. She tells these rulers, got it, send a, you know, a group of soldiers down here. We're going to hide him in the house. And obviously she lulled him to sleep. She tied him up with those bowstrings. Now listen, I'm telling you, he's not the smartest guy around, right? Not the brightest bulb in the pack. And so she ties him up, 7 fresh bowstrings. Then she backs up and she goes, Samson, the Philistines are here to capture you. And he jumps up and just snaps some strings. She realizes he's toying with me. So she starts in again, man. The guilt, the flattery, the nagging. It's kind of a combination at this point. And, you know, and he said, okay, here it is. Tie me up with new ropes. Weak as any other man. She gets the new rope. She goes to Ace Hardware, gets the new rope. All, she goes through the whole thing. Got the guys hiding in the back. Loads him to it. Slides him up. Samson the Philistines are to capture. Boom, jumps up, snaps him. She realizes, you're still toying with me. You're lying to me. And she's like, you know, tell me, please. And she goes through the whole thing. And the guy, I'm telling you, he wasn't stable. The way his mind worked is weird. He said, okay, here's the way it works. He said, now, he wore his hair in 7 braids. Never been cut. In all his life. He said, if you would undo these braids, and she must have had a weaving loom. So I guess she was not only, well, let's just say she was a crafty Philistine woman. He said, if you were to loosen my braids and weave my hair into the fabric on that loom, I'd become as weak. She bought it. She lulls him into a sleep. She lets down those braids. She weaves. Can you imagine? And she gets all that in there. And then she goes, Samson the Philistines are in capture. One translation of the Bible said he stood up and began to walk around with this whole loom hanging on the back of his head. And then he pulls his hair out and she realized, you're not being fair. So I want us to read what happened next in Judges chapter 16, verse 15 through 20. Then Delilah, listen, man, I'm telling you, when the guilt doesn't work and the flattery doesn't work and the nagging doesn't work, there's one more weapon in the arsenal. You got it? You're reading this? Then Delilah pouted. How can you tell me I love you when you don't share your secrets with me? You've made fun of me 3 times now, and you still haven't told me what makes you so strong. She tormented him day after day until he was sick to death of it. Finally, Samson shared his secret with her. My hair's never been cut, he confessed. For I was dedicated to God as a Nazarite from birth. If my head were shaved, my strength would leave me, and I would become as weak as anyone else. Let me briefly explain this Nazarite vow. Any Israelite could take the vow of a Nazarite. It just simply meant for a period of time, in this case for Samson, it was for his life, that you totally devoted yourself to God and his purpose for you. And the outward manifestation of that inward commitment was hair. All the Nazarites never had a haircut. They let the hair grow long. And so he's saying, you cut my hair. You remove that outward manifestation of an inward commitment. I lose my strength. Do you know what he just said there? My strength comes from God. Cut me off from God, you cut off my strength. You cut me off from my strength. So look what she said. Delilah realized he had finally told her the truth, so she sent for the Philistine rulers. Come back one more time, she said, for he has finally told me his secret. So the Philistine rulers returned with the money in their hands. Delilah lulled Samson to sleep with his head in her lap. Listen, I'm envious of this man's ability to sleep. Are you? I mean, how does he do this? And then she called in a man to shave off the 7 locks of his hair. In this way, she began to, 3 big words. You see them? Bring him down. Critical to our story. In this way, she began to bring him down. And his strength left him. Then she cried out, Samson, the Philistines have come to capture you. When he woke up, he just thought, I'll do as before and shake myself free. Saddest sentence to me in the Bible. But he didn't know the Lord had left him. You know what these men did? They bound him in chains. Then they gouged out his eyes. And they led him away. At this point, he had been the leader of Israel for 20 years. Well, he lost that. He lost that position. He lost that opportunity momentarily. He lost his vision. They led him away where he would serve as a slave, not a leader. And apparently what he did all day long was he ground meal. From what I understand, he would sit in a circle with aging widows at the point of death. And they would be given a certain amount of grain in a little bowl and a little mallet. And all day long, you ground that into meal. Man, that's quite a fall, isn't it? The Bible said that these Philistines loved to have worship services, and they would have worship services just to worship their God, because they believed their God had given them victory over their greatest enemy, Samson. And you know what they like to do at a worship service? They like to get hammered. They like to get drunk. And the Bible said that about the time they would all be half drunk, that's the way the Bible worked, they were half drunk, they would call for Samson to come out for amusement. He went from being feared to being a laughingstock. A prisoner. A lot of loss, a lot of pain, a lot of humiliation. Now, I told you I wanted to tell you this story, and I told you at the end of the story I'd tell you why. You ask, Ronnie, why tell us this today? There's a lesson here that we can't afford to miss. It's a lesson that Samson learned the hard way. You ready? Anyone can fall. I want you to let that sink in. Anyone can fall. Samson wasn't invincible. He thought he was. He was not invincible, and neither are we. If Samson could fall into the hands of the Philistines, you better bet you this, we can fall into the hands of our enemy, the devil. Nobody is the exception. Nobody is immune. Anyone can fall. I want the Bible to speak on this just a little bit more, so I want us to read from the New Testament book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 10, verse 1 through 11. And this morning I'm reading from a paraphrase of the Bible entitled The Message. The Apostle Paul wrote these words to a church much like Golden Corner. Listen to what he said. As a matter of fact, I think the words are on the screen. Remember our history, friends, and be warned. Let me tell you what he's talking about. He's encouraging these New Testament church-going Christian people that they should remember all those sordid, dark, weird stories from the Old Testament. That's what he's saying. Remember our history, friends. And then he says this, and be warned. What he's saying is all those weird, dark, sordid stories from the Old Testament are there to serve as a warning to us. He said, all our ancestors were led by the providential cloud and taken miraculously through the sea. They went through the waters in a baptism like ours as Moses led them from enslaving death to salvation life. You've read that story in the book of Exodus. They all ate and drank identical food and drink, meals provided daily by God. They drank from the rock, God's fountain for them that stayed with them wherever they were, and that rock was Christ. You've read about that as they traveled in the book of Exodus, as they went through the wilderness. But he said, but just experiencing God's wonder and grace didn't seem to mean much. You see this next word? Because it is huge. Most. Not a few, not one, most of them were defeated by, and the title of this series is Getting Tough With, most of them were defeated by temptation during the hard times of the desert, and God was not pleased. Look at this next sentence, the same thing could happen to us. Paul Paul says, therefore, we must be on guard so that we never get caught up in wanting our own way as they did. And we must not turn our religion into a circus as they did. First the people parted, then they threw a dance, also found in the book of Exodus. He says, we must not be sexually promiscuous. They paid for that. Remember, with 23,000 deaths in one day, that story's in the book of Numbers. We must never try to get Christ to serve us instead of us serving him. They tried it, and God launched an epidemic of poisonous snakes. That story's found in the book of Numbers. He said we must be careful not to stir up discontent. Discontent destroyed them. These are all warning markers. He's talking about these stories. These are all warning markers. Danger is what they're saying to us. Danger in our history books, written down so that we don't repeat their mistakes. Our positions in this story are parallel. They at the beginning, we at the end. Look at this. And we are just as capable of messing it up as they were. Paul said, don't be so naive and self-confident. You're not exempt. You could fall flat on your face as easily as anyone else. According to the Bible, anyone can fall. Even you. Even you. So in light of this lesson, what am I recommending? I think it's pretty simple. Be careful. Boy, yes, the sixth sermon in this series, if I could kind of sum up an action step based on all six sermons, that's it. Guys, we need to be careful. I want to read from the Bible one more time. Paul's already said to these church people at Corinth, according to the Bible, anyone can fall. Then he gives them some great advice. In 1 Corinthians 10:12, he said, if you think you're standing strong, what are those two words? Be careful. He says, be careful not to fall. Now, here's some bad news. The devil will eventually target each of us, and if we're not careful, he will bring us down. If we're not careful, we will fall into his hands, and in his hands we will suffer loss, pain, and humiliation just like Samson. To avoid a fall, we must be careful not to take sin lightly, as Samson appeared to. We must recognize each sin for what it is. Every sin is a terrible offense to God. To avoid a fall, we must be careful not to disrespect our enemy. The Philistines proved to be a capable adversary to Samson. And I want to promise you something. We're up against an adversary that is a lot more cunning, more relentless, more ruthless, and more capable than Samson ever was. Can I tell you this without hurting your feelings? I'm going to. If it hurts your feelings, you just have to live with it, I guess. The devil's brought down smarter and stronger people than us. If he can bring them down, he can bring us down. To avoid a fall, we must be careful not to take God for granted. There's only one thing that prevents our complete annihilation. And maybe I should rephrase that and say there's only one person who prevents our complete annihilation, and that is God. So let's not take him for granted. Let's stop assuming that God's going to bail us out of every nasty situation our sin gets us into. To avoid a fall, we must be careful not to sleep while the enemy schemes. Here's what I mean. We need to be alert without being crazy. So what do you mean by crazy? I don't want Golden Corner Church to go on a witch hunt. I don't want us to give assigned credit to the devil for everything that doesn't go our way. I don't want us to be crazy. There was a morning in January, and I'd made an appointment to take my riding mower in for service. I got up that morning, it was 23 degrees. I drove over to my son's house, hooked a trailer up to my truck, drove back to the house, went up to crank the mower to drive it up on the truck. Battery's dead. I mean, dead. So I had to go down, drop the trailer, come back, take the battery out, busted my knuckles. You ever hit your knuckles against metal when it was 23 degrees? Huh? Yeah, Frankie. Yeah. So I've got my little battery. I'm walking down to the truck, frost everywhere. You know, this is a delay. I'm type A. Everything like this just annoys me. And I hear this little voice in my head ask me a question. Is this the devil? Think this is the devil? Aggravating you? And my neighbors are here. And I literally said out loud, no, I think it's a dead battery. You know, I don't want us to go crazy. When I was first saved, people were playing records backwards. Does anybody remember that? And then, you know, you'd hear the record. Did you hear that? And I'm like, yeah, he said, I don't get it. And I don't want going to corner to be a church full of crazy people. Boy, I don't want us to sleep while the devil's on the hunt. I want us to live in an awareness that we have a predator. We are the prey. Every day we need to remind ourselves, some way, fashion, or form, that we are the hunted. We better keep one eye open. I want us to enjoy life. I want us to enjoy God. But I want us to survive. You know how we're going to do that? We're not going to be crazy, but we're going to be careful. Anyone can fall, even you. Let's pray. Father, you are our shepherd. You protect us. You guide us. Lord, we thank you for that. I don't even know where we would be, any of us would be, without your protection, without your guidance. As sheep, here's what I'm asking. I want you to help us pay careful attention to you. I want you to help us follow you closely and carefully and not veer from the path that you've established for us, because, God, it is dangerous when we get off the path. Help us be careful. In Christ's name, amen. Thank you, guys. Have a great Sunday afternoon.